The Message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the Message to Israel. Nearly two-thirds of the prophecy of Habakkuk consists of a conversation between the prophet and God. Habakkuk is the man who believes and yet questions. Habakkuk remonstrates with God by asking how a pure God could use impure instruments to chastise his people. He confronts the ever-present problem of evil. Often, perplexed souls cry out, "Why?" Mr. Overton gives today the first of three messages based on the prophecy of Habakkuk. It is entitled, "The Faith That Questions." I am happy to present once again, Mr. Overton.
Thank you again, Mr. Spencer, and greetings in the name of the Lord Yeshua. The prophet Habakkuk lived and ministered in a difficult time in Judah as far as spiritual life was concerned. There was great indifference, and the unjust appeared to profit with no visible restraints. The spiritual condition of Jerusalem was one of very dark apostasy. The results of the brief reformation under the leadership of Judah's last righteous king, young Josiah, had vanished. The deplorable conditions that existed under King Manasseh had returned. Wickedness and oppression abounded. Sin truly was rife in Judah, and the hour of reckoning, the Babylonian invasion and final captivity, was fast approaching. The name Habakkuk means to embrace. Habakkuk has been extolled as the prophet of comfort. He embraced his people. He took them, as it were, into his arms to comfort and uphold them. Many feel that the prophet Habakkuk may well have been a Levite serving as a chorister in the temple when God's call to prophesy came to him. The notation at the end of his prophecy strengthens this suggestion, "For the choir director on my stringed instruments." His message was intended to encourage the faithful remnant in Israel. Habakkuk has held consistently a very high place among the Hebrew prophets. His closing psalm is most magnificent Hebrew poetry. The language throughout the book is very beautiful and unsurpassed for literary quality in the Hebrew scriptures. Habakkuk is exceedingly rich in spiritual truth. It is most relevant for us today. The style of Habakkuk is unique among the Hebrew prophets. He does not address the people directly. His message takes the form of a dialogue between himself and God. Nearly two-thirds of the prophecy of Habakkuk consists of these conversations. Habakkuk begins as a perplexed prophet. One perplexity leads to another as he views the unrestrained wickedness in Jerusalem and Judah. Why does God permit this? Why do the righteous suffer? Why does God permit injustice to triumph? Where was God when? Have we not heard these questions? Indeed, have we not asked them ourselves? Habakkuk is the man who believes and yet questions. He confronts the ever-present problem of evil. Does God answer our questions? God does give his answers in various places in his word. The prophecy of Habakkuk is one of these writings. Let us permit Habakkuk to lead us as he demonstrates the faith that questions. Notice, it is not the questions of a scornful unbeliever, but the searching of one who believes in the living God, one who brings his doubts and problems into the presence of God, one who waits to receive the true answer. The prophecy of Habakkuk opens with the words, "the oracle or burden which Habakkuk the prophet saw." The oracle or burden concerns judgments upon Israel as well as her enemies. The coming events had been revealed to Habakkuk by God as his prophet. Habakkuk had been crying out to God concerning the condition of his people. There was continued unrestrained evil and violence in the land. The silence of God presented a problem to the prophet. Then, as now, this has been difficult to understand. The prophet does not voice simply a personal complaint, however, but the desires and longings of the godly in the land. Habakkuk unveils at the very beginning his exercised heart to the Lord. How long, O Lord, will I call for help, and thou wilt not hear? I cry out to thee, violence, yet thou dost not save. Why dost thou make me see iniquity, and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me, strife exists, contention arises. Therefore the law is ignored, and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore justice comes out perverted. The ability of the prophet to change these things seems powerless. He knows, however, that God's power is not limited, yet the Lord, it appears, is not doing anything about this rule of injustice and bloodshed. What genuinely troubles the prophet Habakkuk is the Lord's seeming indifference in these conditions. Because unrighteous judges are in authority, the law of God has been set at naught. Life and property is jeopardized. The righteous are ensnared by fraud. Why does God remain silent when such miscarriage of justice is the order of the day? The righteous of the land are hemmed in on all sides. They cannot receive their just dues. The attitude of the successful wicked is described well in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8 and verse 11. Because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the son of men among them are given fully to do evil. But the Lord is not at all an unconcerned spectator. God's heart is more deeply moved than man's could ever be over sin and injustice. He addresses his answer to Habakkuk and the righteous remnant by instructing them to observe the scene of events going on among the surrounding nations. Events are transpiring among these nations. The Lord says, "Look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days. You would not believe it if you were told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous people who march throughout the earth to seize dwelling places which are not theirs. They're dreaded and feared. Their justice and authority originate with themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards and keener than wolves in the evening. Their horsemen come galloping. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle, swooping down to devour. All of them come for violence. Their hordes of faces move forward. They collect captives like sand. They mock at kings, and rulers are a laughing matter to them. They laugh at every fortress and heap up rubble to capture it. Then they will sweep through like the wind and pass on. But they will be held guilty, they whose strength is their God." Now this passage is enough to frighten anyone. God is actually saying to the prophet Habakkuk that he was fully cognizant of the sins and injustices in Judah and Jerusalem, and that he would use the dreadful power of Babylonia to deal with them. The prophet had asked, "How long?" God answers, "I'm doing something in your days. That is, within the generation of those living at this time, this will come to pass." The Chaldeans were coming rapidly to the front of the world scene. This description in the prophecy of Habakkuk is considered the classic passage listing the characteristics of those ancient Chaldeans. They were fearless, confident, cruel, fast, powerful, and impetuous. They marched with their vast, well-trained armies composed not only of the Chaldeans, but contingents from many subject nations. They possessed the modern weapons of those times. They were subject to no one, but ruled with their own might. Their judgment and dignity proceed from themselves. Other prophets joined Habakkuk in speaking of their swift horses and skilled riders. Because of this tremendous power, the Chaldeans exceeded all limits in cruelty and aggression. Their might became their god. Thus the Lord declared, "They will be held guilty whose strength is their god." This, then, is God's reply to his prophet. God is in control of history. He declares, "I am raising up the Chaldeans." God will send them against the other nations, including Judah and Jerusalem, to punish and chastise them because of their sins. Over and over, this process is used by God and is stated so in the Hebrew Scriptures. As we look at events even today on the present world scene and examine the Scriptures, God has something to say to us. The prophet Habakkuk is now in ever greater perplexity. He understands that God will deal now with the sinful state of Judah and Jerusalem very soon. God will use the terrible Chaldeans to punish, chastise, and purge them. He sees that God is in complete control of history and will afterwards destroy the Chaldeans themselves because of their pride and wickedness. But Habakkuk wants to know how God, who cannot look complacently upon evil, could use a nation far more wicked than Judah as an instrument for divine judgment. In the next message on Habakkuk, we will observe the prophet as he waits for further answer from the God of Israel. God's ways are not our ways. We need to search the Scriptures for God's answer. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, declared, "Search the Scriptures. It is these that bear witness of me." Are we willing to receive the testimony of God's Word and find our provision in Him?
And now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Shalom.